check the scriptures. We're giving you a foundation. I think I was counting yesterday. I've got 17 books on the book of Revelation by 17 different writers, and I've read all 17 books. Don't agree with all of it. You may not agree with everything I say, but we got to be in the God's will. We can look at the state of affairs and we say, well, the Lord got to be coming. Well, don't ever make that statement because God don't have to do anything. He's God, but he's given us signs, and the signs are very vivid. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, read the first three verses. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. If you ever wonder when you read that first verse why he only gave it to John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of God and of testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. There's a blessing just for reading it. He said, I don't understand. He didn't say blessed if you understand it. He'll give you understanding if you read, and then you pray before you read, and you pray after you read. But he said, blessed is he that readeth. That's a blessing that we miss out on simply because we said, I don't understand Revelations. I don't understand how one man can die, go to the grave 3 days, come up, and save millions of people. Can you understand that? Of course not. He doesn't want us necessarily to understand it. He wants us to believe it. So he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those sayings which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You can preach half a dozen sermons on verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. You want to be blessed? He didn't say blessed if you watch the Bluetooth for 4 hours. He didn't say I'll bless you if you go to the Super Bowl or Cotton Bowl or whatever that bowl was. There ain't no blessings on that. That's strictly entertainment. But he said blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of his prophecy. Notice the wording. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy. Every time I put that tape into a tape recorder, listen to it coming to church, or listen to it going to lesson, I'm going to be blessed just by hearing it. What else can you going to be blessed for if you read it or hear it? This is comes and goes. But this, if you'll read it regularly, read it often, God said, I'll bless you. So he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This is an invitation John is saying, the Lord is coming back. I'm going to give you something to grasp, something to believe in, so that you'll be ready. You'll know the time. Nobody knows when he's coming, the day and hour and minute and second. Nobody knows that. But if you understand prophecy and you understand what John is saying because the Holy Spirit talked to him, I mean, what signs do you want? This country is in a mess. I mean, when you stop and think of how many are going, crossing over that southern, and this is not Mexican's people. It's people from China, Russia, everything. And little Dodo is sitting up there, you know, nodding and saying, I'm in control, I'm in control. And money is keeping them not to making a stand. Well, I believe World War III is pretty close. And it surely will be excited time, but I don't plan to be here. So what is the importance of the book of Revelation? It is the summation, capstone, and climax of God's word. Revelation is the crown and capstone, the grand finale in the revelation of God's plan. W.H. Cloud said that in his commentary. B.H. Carroll, another great writer, said not merely in date of composition, but in fitness of content, it closes the canon of the scriptures. It finishes. It completes. Genesis, the beginning. Revelation, the end. I believe that the average person in America today do not believe in Genesis, the first three chapters. If they did, they wouldn't be killing their babies. It completes, it perfects. If not only dispenses with all need of further revelation, but you know, it susceptible of subtraction, ignorance. I mean, just he is B.H. Carroll. You know, I've got several books by him. When I went to Lexington Baptist College, they taught out of his book. When I went to Cincinnati Baptist College, they taught out that book. I mean, these writers that I'm going to mention in the next few weeks are people that are, they got a doctor's degree in the Word of God. But I just want you to get a glimpse of their opinion. But that's not what I'm really concerned about. I just want to know that the way I believe, some other good men who's in for God more than I know agrees in a pre-tribulation. And all these other guys that wants to go through the first 3.5 years, I hope you have fun. I'm not going to be here. And we'll show it to you as we go along. The first and last books of the Bible are of critical importance. Genesis and Revelation, two of the most important books in the canon. I've read the book of Revelation time and time and time and time and time again. Haven't read the Genesis as much, but I've read it several times. The beginning, the end. Everything else makes up the middle. So we see under number one down there, C, the first and last books of the Bible are critical important. Someone has described them as two bookends that holds the entire Bible together. And that's a beautiful illustration of what Genesis and Revelation is. Illustration, the two strainer posts in a fence are vital if things are to line up properly in between. Number two, comparison between Genesis and Revelation. There is a tie between Genesis and Revelation, the first and last books of the Bible. Genesis presents the beginning, Revelation presents the end. J. Vernon McGee, probably any of y'all that have drove your cars at night before you can punch in and hear whatever you hear, but, you know, when I was 20, 21 years old, you heard those guys on radio. J. Vernon McGee has wrote books, professor, head of a college. I've taken two courses, home courses from that. You don't have to be able to go to college. You can get the college to come to your home. You can choose the books you want. I'm just sharing some things with you. The beginning, and, you know, Genesis presents the beginning. Revelation presents the end. Now, underneath the number two, you'll see here some little smaller writing. In Genesis, the earth was created. In Revelation, the earth passes away. Genesis was Satan's first rebellion. Revelation is Satan's last rebellion. Satan has been against God from the beginning to the end. And if you're a child of God, Satan knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows what you like. He knows your weakness. He knows your strength. And if you think you can handle him by yourself, you can't. You can't. In Genesis, the sun, moon, and stars were for earth's government. In Revelation, these same heavenly bodies are for earth's judgment. Everybody's concerned that this earth is going to be demolished by an atomic bomb. It may very well be, but I'll be in glory. And that bomb cannot reach heaven. But if I want to spend eternity up there, then I got to serve him down here. In Genesis, the sun was governed by the day. In Revelation, there is no need of the sun. Sunshine, sunshine, in my heart today. That's when you got Jesus directing you, strengthening you. And I know what it is. You know, I was talking to a person today, and they looked at me and they said, "You ain't feeling good." I said, "Really? Let me see." I know what they're talking about because, you know, when you, you know, I told Steve, I bought me some furniture, you know, and when you buy anything from the king, you know, they'll say anything. But it's all in a box, and you gotta put it together, screw by screw by screw, and see, and every time I draw, don't go any further. When I had these spells, I can't bend over too far, you know. I've got to get in bed and put my feet up here like this to take my shoes off. He said, are you concerned? No, I'm still breathing. What's the doctor going to tell me? Going to tell me that. Slow down. Slow down, preacher. What he's saying is, go to bed. I don't do bed. But see, I know what my problem is, and I know how far I can go. I know the Word of God, and I know how far I can go. God said, He said in Genesis, the sun was to govern the day. Revelation, there is no need of a sun. In Genesis, darkness was called night. In Revelation, there is no night. Revelation 21, 25. 22, 5. People that are afraid of night or don't like to be in night, you know, it's hard. Don't have to worry about that. You just go to bed and go to sleep. No, you won't need no sleep. You ain't going to get tired in heaven. I'm trying to encourage you to work, for the night's going to come when we can't work. Genesis was the beginning of sorrow and suffering. Revelation, there is no more sorrow or tears. Genesis was the marriage of the first Adam. In Revelation is the marriage of the last Adam. The bride is getting ready. But yet these people think that they can go down the aisle and get baptized or be a little sprinkling and then live the way they want to, and they're going to be in the bride. Where do you get that? We'll see as we get into the study, the bride has made herself ready. It's not talking about the bride saving herself. If you are truly born again, you want to do whatever you're able to do. Said, I can't do what I used to. Can you still pray? In Genesis, we saw the main city, Babylon, being built. In Revelation, we see the main city. Babylon is destroyed. God's city, the New Jerusalem, brought into view. I just receive wasting your time on the man. These comparisons are wonderful. Amen. Down here, you have the very best of everything, and it still won't last. The fire will consume it all. But in glory. Genesis, Satan's doom was pronounced. In Revelation, Satan's doom is executed. So we will study the first three verses in his book under 4 points. In the scene, the three opening verses of Revelation act like a table of content. All right. person of the book. God said in the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the spotlight of the revelation is Jesus Christ. Elsewhere, you know, revelation comes from the Greek words. I don't know Greek, but I'm confident that this meaning that Brother Moody gave me in a course is right. Meaning to unveil. And that's what's going to happen when I get to glory. God is going to unveil all the secret things, and we will understand as he understands. Elsewhere, it is translated lightning as Luke 2:32. We won't cross-reference all of these as we're teaching. I hope you want that knowledge enough that you would, because it'll certainly bless you. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, we see here. Notice what God says. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. I hope everybody in this room knows that Israel is God's chosen people. And these college, whatever they are, got so many brains they have no common sense. One of the destroy Israel? Well, I don't know about anybody in this room. I'm a spiritual Jew. Amen. Spiritual Jew. And this thing has affected Jews everywhere. Their life is threatened. The jobs are being taken away from them. Because they're Jew? Oh. You may not know it, but if you're a professing Christian who's not ashamed of being a Christian, you've had a few doors close in your life and you wonder, I thought I had that job. Yeah, till they found out you were saved or you support the Jews. God said in Romans 8:19, Romans 8:19. God said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I mean, you can just look up these scriptures and you may not get but one page. It'll bless your heart. We see here in bottom that first paragraph said, you know, so to take away the covering, to unveil, to reveal, if it means taking away a cover and an uncovering or laying bare, Thomas, it is not intended to conceal truth, but to reveal truth. Revelation is to reveal truth. Revelation is for you to get at least some type of knowledge of what's going to take place. Another man that I read after, Dr. Newell, said, what a rebuke to the negligence, the neglect, the sneering, ignorant, shown by most Christians toward the revelation that our Lord Jesus Christ may declare it an open, unsealed, it was sealed up, understandable book. Men say it is filled with unintelligible language and mystic symbols. Christ says, blessed is he that readeth. Wasn't that what he said in the first three verses? Men say, let it alone. You can't understand it. Well, you couldn't understand how to be saved if God hadn't shown it to you. It isn't that God won't and can't show it to us. We don't have a desire to learn because we've heard some preachers say somewhere that the more you learn, the more you're accountable. Well, this generation coming up, they ought to be all right because they don't know nothing. All they know is buy some more. Go down to number two of Jesus Christ. Christ is the focus of the book. Christ is the center person and theme of the book. This book of Revelation is about Jesus. Amen. Why wouldn't any saved person want to learn something about Jesus? Notice this verse in Luke 24:44. Luke 24, see what Christ says here. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning who? Me, the me being Jesus Christ. I'm saved and I can never be lost. And you may differ with me on this point. That's fine. But I want to be in the bride. I want to be in the bride. I don't want us to go in and out. I want to be near him. Christ is the central theme of history. Christ is the central theme of Revelation. Revelation is both eschatological, which means doctrine of the last things. Doctrine of Christ. This is book of Revelation is it's a revelation of Christ. It's a revelation of the last days. Number E under two, in the gospel, Christ is revealed as Savior and sin barrier. In Revelation, he is revealed as Judge, Sovereign, and Coming King. But just think, we haven't covered all of the first page. And if you know this first page and get that in your head, you're bound to want to tell somebody what is waiting for them if they've been washed in the blood. See, in the gospel, Christ is revealed as the Savior and sin barrier. In Revelation, he's revealed as the judge, sovereign, and coming king. The climax of the book is the second coming of Christ. Theodore Epp, I mean, you're talking about a writer. If after studying this book of the Revelations, the Lord Jesus does not mean more to you than he did before, either I have failed in teaching it or the Holy Spirit has not been able to reveal this glorious truth to you. I mean, no farther and we've gone. I would get on, say with a surety, preachers will not break it down. Because first of all, you got to do too much studying. You got to check somebody's workout. The source of revelation was God gave unto him. I mean, if I didn't put anything else down, the source of revelation was God gave unto him. But now what he said in these first three verses, the revelation of Jesus Christ was God gave unto him. God gave it to John. He didn't go to a university. He didn't do like I did and try to buy anybody that is a reputable teacher to read their books. See, when the Lexham Baptist College was there, they had a little bookstore down on Limestone. I don't know anybody else would remember that, but I used to go down there on my lunch hour. Brother Braun was always there. I mean, it was like having 30 minutes of a man that we all that went to Lexham Baptist College, who did we want to be like? Brother Roscoe Braun. He knew the Hebrew, he knew the Greek, he knew the English, he knew his Bible. So the source of revelation was God gave unto him. One of my favorite writers, Warren Risby, the Father gave the revelation to the Son, and the Son shared it with the apostles using his angel. God showed you something, what are you supposed to do? Show it to somebody else. Instead, you just get all that knowledge and it's foggy. I need you, little brother man, to follow me around. Well, I can't follow you around. But you got the Holy Spirit. You get the basics, and you pray, Lord, I didn't get everything that old preacher said last night, but I got one or two points. Increase my knowledge. Increase my understanding. That's who does it. I can't make you understand nothing, but the Holy Spirit can. Amen. So, starting Roman numeral 2, the purpose of this book. Well, when we go to verse 1, and we'll see that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. So the question, you know, was the purpose of the book. 1b, that's the second half of this verse, and he tells us, which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. See, God shows John something. Now John's going to show us. The Lord shows the preacher something. He gets up and preaches on it. You neither accept it or believe it. But I've done my job. So we see, you know, eschatological, it reveals the future, shortly come to pass. You know, back here in the back of Revelation 22:6, last chapter here in Revelation. I should have, here it is. Revelation 22, verse 6, God said, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants. I had a person ask me that Monday. Do you think as a pastor, as a preacher, you got some special contact with the Lord? And Revelation 22:6 came to my mind, and I said, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent the angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. God doesn't reveal something to us, and then we go over here and sit down on the stool and do nothing. He showed it to us for a reason. To share it with somebody else. And you can share it without ever opening your mouth. I'm going to close here in just a minute, but I had a lady who said, one of my best friends, I just love her, but she just gossips. What do you think I ought to do? Find yourself another best friend. If she'll talk about somebody else, she'll talk about you to somebody else. Huh? I said, where do you get that? Oh, I got that years ago and God saved me. So you just tell the truth all the time. You be the same all the time. And I'm just one of his little shepherds, one of his little followers, following him. And when I open my Bible and I read, Lord, show me something. So we don't finish here, this page. That wasn't bad. We finished the whole page tonight. Shortly come to pass, and the word shortly means suddenly, quickly. In Revelation 22:6. These things which must shortly be done. For the time is at hand. Means near. It's near. So God said, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is what? The time is at hand. That means it's near. Right? All right, so your hand is always nearby. An illustration is Judas, Christ's betrayer was said to be at hand in Matthew 26:46. And Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. 2 Timothy 4:6. I'm telling you tonight, the second coming is at hand. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, each time I just read this book, it brings me closer to you. It causes me to realize that I must not waste my time.